I will turn my face from them, and they shall profane my treasured place. Robbers shall enter and profane it. I'm like, where are you? Ezekiel 7:22. Where are you? Where are you going? Who are you? Good morning. Thank you for joining me. So I will turn my face from them. I will rebuke. I will repent. I turn the other cheek. I walk away. No, I'm not willing to allow you to, for me to enter a venue to where God and Christ are not apparent. For I seek him, his glory. I am saved. I am redeemed. They shall profane my treasured place. They're restricting you from heaven? Or is it that they're taking you to that value? Robbers shall enter and profane it. Oh my goodness. So out of nowhere, here are these treasures in heaven that I've been working on as I'm climbing the ladder collectively each and every day. Now there's individuals that are coming on in, and like a thief at night, they're stealing it from me. They're taking me all the way from the top and putting me down in the bottom. Instead of me being saved, redeemed, revived, now I'm being put in chains and shackles, and I possibly could be a slave to the scripture or a slave to what they think. And the inheritance can't be the deception, though. The perception of the way that I think, how could it be? It's not about me, nor is it about you. It's still about him. So the relevance of how we interpret it, including the emotional attachment, is no more than a consecutive confession. How you doing? Think about what I'm saying. We can't get caught up into the mindset of what he wants it to be, because it's truly about him and not about us. So the reference to he at this point can't be about Christ, nor can it be about God, but it can be about the flesh, if you would, and falling victim or falling asleep at the gospel. And sometimes we get tired. We need to rest. We need to be revived. We need to be born again. We need to wash and cleanse the heart, soul, and mind and take it to that level. Acts 24:6. He even tried to profane the temple, but we seized him. So something happens to where individuals are entering your safe haven. I've got this safe haven here. And then the temple, I referenced the biblical notion of assertion. My body is the temple in thought, word, and deed, heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit. Think about what I'm saying. So he tried to enter the profane the temple, but we seized him. So it's, and in some cases, you got to go beyond repenting. You got to go beyond saying no. Yes, we reference consent being love, but you got to be capable of walking away. And in some cases, you have to strike, you have to measure, you have to score, you have to include bodily harm, for goodness sakes. No, my answer is no. I do not want you clouding this temple or polluting my atmosphere. You believe in him, and we've all heard it before, right? But he's already won every battle. You don't have to fight. Because of him, you are saved, you are redeemed, hallelujah, right? Incarnation, right? Remission of the sins. Yes, of course, it became practical because of him through the blood. But then why am I still worried about it? Or why am I bringing it to life? I can't be aggravated. I'm not like planting a seed and watching it grow. But no means no at its best form. So here comes the jurisdiction of mindset. So if you walk up into a country, a nation, a governing body, if you would, and God and Christ are not available, guess what you are allowed to say? No. I don't care what they've got going on, what they've written down on paper, what their biblical aspect looks like. Of course, they don't have biblical. I got the Bible. It's black and white. It can't be looked at any different. All right, smack you right in the face. Here it is, bloody well. Whew, bloody sounds like a mess. Somebody clean it up. Clean up on aisle 7. We've seen that before, right? Jar dumps on the ground. You're wondering what's happening. Oh, boy. Could get slick. So at any point and any time at any crossroad, you're allowed to say no. I don't think what you've got actually works. But if everything that you've got in your life provides sustainment, through Christ I'm provided sustainment. Through God I'm provided sustainment. Because of them, I don't have to worry. I realize that I'm seeking heaven. I'm seeking eternity. Even my own personal relationships, well, they're no more than a confession of me trying to find God and finding God within that person. So the condemned mindset, treat others the way that you want to be treated. We stumble across that often, do we not? There's a beauty of the eye of beholder. We hate to love or we love to hate. Is that true? I'm not really sure. But right, the beauty in the eye of the beholder, the way we see the world is effective to us. Or it's effective only upon acknowledgement. Because if everybody else believes that it's true, then it shall be. But there's no direct relevance in the sense of discovery. How shall your soul, which, I'm going to say the Holy Spirit, someone say the Holy Ghost, I think different. How shall your soul deceptively be the thing or the item, the entity, the emplacement, the mentality, the mindset, the possessiveness of the Spirit? How shall it be what leads you astray? Well, it should be very, very rare. That is not included within your thought and decision-making ability. They call that ability, though, don't they? Think about this. Is that godlike? Your thought and decision-making ability. Some of you are very capable and able to make thoughts and decisions. Others of you, you're just not capable. I don't need to wake up and hear you squawking in the morning talking about I'm waiting for somebody to find you a fist and throw a little bit of money on you so I can make sure that you're good to go. That sounds terrible. I mean, you must have some worth to somebody. God forgive me. So I think about it. Is it the ability to make decisions, or is that being condemned? Because if I'm forgiven and I am redeemed and Christ knows and hears everything that I have in my life, he knows, he witnesses, and the scripture becomes true by the enactment of the way that I walk and the candle that I light. Oh my goodness. Then I shall not have anything to worry about. I should be capable, able, and the decisions I make are no more than a direct reflection of how he lives within my life. So I don't stumble, I don't fall, but yet I see and I witness other individuals constantly crawling on the ground. They're stumbling. And you heard what I said, slaves to scripture. So think about it. Think about what I'm saying. Slaves to scripture. Think about it. So because of Christ, the chains of sin and wickedness and death have been lifted off of me. Well, I no longer crawl. I no longer stumble. I walk outright. My crooked ways have been turned straight. I don't have anything to worry about. I have been forgiven. I am redeemed. I'm washed and cleansed. I am alive because of him. Come into my heart, soul, and mind. Save me, redeem me. He is breathing within me. So I don't have anything to worry about. But yet some of the purest form of believers that we have in this world, the scripture condemns them. It also puts them in shackles and chains. They use words like submissiveness. I'm submissive to the truth. Oh, I bet you are. You ever heard of Christ? I believe that celibacy was the right direction because that's what God wanted for me. Hey, amen. You know, I mean, if it works for you, more power to you. But you know what? For me, he wants me to have fulfillment because everything that I have or I don't have is because of him. He provides for me. I live a God-given life. Some of us, we're out there, we're living a creature-taken life. Anything you got, creature's ready to take it from you. That's my life. Ooh, I'm not up for auction. You want to go on eBay and you want to buy something now, go ahead and do it. But it ain't me. So the life that I lead, the possessiveness, the mentality, the acts, the laboring, the deeds, the hands, the feet, if you would, God help me. No. It belongs to him. It's not mine. It's God-given. Every aspect in life that I have is God-given. It's not creature-taken. The acknowledgement of their soreness, the bitterness, it doesn't got a foul taste in your mouth. It's starting to stink up in here. Can you move? Think about what I'm saying. They're polluting you, your temple. No, I hold my body safe and near. I like a little bit of communion. The body of Christ, the blood. Come on now, get me fulfilled here. I'm trying to get my daily fix, right? Some individuals only state you can do that on Sundays or Wednesdays. I'm not sure. Lord, forgive me. But I'm taking him in daily. It's the reason why I'm alive. You know, the breath that was put in my lungs, it was put in there for a reason. So sweeping off the doorstep, sure, I got the entrance to the temple, I got to keep it clean. And what would that be as we perceive it? Do you think it would be your feet, your hands, the mouth, the intake? Something along those lines, right? What he's delivering to me, I'm delivering to them. Very good. Think about what you have to give. Oh, of course, generosity, of course, favor. I let compassion. Yes, absolutely. Faith, hope, belief, charity. Yes. Think about it. But in every aspect, if any topic, any assertion becomes bondage to where you are living without God or living without Christ, and you are or shall suffer because of those decisions, I find it hard to believe that that would be a thought of God or of Christ. I thought the purpose and notion of Christ was to state that we are forgiven, we are redeemed, and we don't have anything to worry about. The chains of sin and wickedness and death have been lifted off of us. Humbly so, I don't need to be laying down on the ground begging for repentance. Why should I? And I apologize, repentance, did you say? Does repentance require acknowledgement? And furthermore, does the confession of sin need to be the blame of somebody else pointing the finger? It can't be. How many of us are capable of defining life? It's right for yours, wrong for me. Who are you? Where'd you come from? I had this girl, she sent me a message on Facebook. She says, where are you from? I thought, quite the introduction. I thought, here comes God, watch out. I was getting ready to sit down in a car and buckle up. I knew I was going for a ride. Here it comes. I put on there, I'm from the same place you are. I'm from Christ, our heavenly Savior and Redeemer. He's the one that's delivered me and put breath within my lungs. He's the reason why I'm alive. Is there anybody else? Question mark. She wrote back, I'm doing good. A little bit of time went by. And I thought, all right. You know, why not be honest, though? If you got something to hide, you might be doing something wrong. I thought the best way to start any relationship, even if it's only acquaintance, would be to be honest. You know, he's the reason why I'm alive. I ain't got nothing to hide. If you've got society, social expectations of me that don't conform to the need and want of what your prism is, and I talk about a suspension of what you've created in life. I'm standing on this pedestal. I'm waiting to fall. I've already fallen. I'm waiting to build back up. The cat and the mouse, if you would. Rhetorically, we all live in some way, shape, or tone, whether it's in the light or in the darkness. Excellent, relevant, very good. So then she writes back this morning, I open it up. It's on social media, and I look on there. She says, where are you from? You know, it don't matter how many times you fall, how many times you get lost, how many times that temple gets polluted or you've fallen, you've been derogatory and you just can't get there. As long as you keep coming back to him. Who are you? Where'd you come from? By the way, where are you going? As long as you keep finding him, you're down on your knees, you're at that pew, you're praying for him, deliver me, confine me, receive me, redeem me. I want to be born again. I don't want to be put in shackles and chains. Then you shall be released. But you're not living in that suspension. You're not a slavery to sin or a slavery to other creatures' wants and needs. For they can't define what's right for you. Neither can you define what's right for them. No means no in every language. But Christ never told you no. God might have said he's not pleased with his creation. Here came Christ. Hallelujah. Yes, I accept you. You are redeemed because of my Father seated at the right hand. Boy, we've walked within that light, ain't we? Ooh, we. Even in my hour of death, Hail Mary, Mother of. Oh, my goodness, I know. Think about what I'm saying. It doesn't take rocket science to figure out that you need him and he needs you. You ever try living life without Christ? It don't work. You ever try creature's form of love? I'm not even interested in creature's form of love. I'm interested in the kind of love that God's got for me, the kind that Christ gave me. Through his blood, salvation, redemption, I am alive. I am redeemed. If it wasn't for him, I might be condemned. I wake up in the morning, I'm looking at some of you individuals, I'm seeing the life that you're leading, and I'm wondering, why are you living without Christ? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Waiting for somebody to smack you upside the head. Get a little bit of Christ in your life. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. What's wrong with you? Each and every day, find him and seek him, and he shall seek you. So it's like spring. And we're nearing summer, right? We got longer days, right? We're seeing it. The sun shining consecutively. But we clean our temple. We nourish it. We wash our heart, soul, and mind. Wash me and cleanse me of my sin and iniquities. And keep me safe. Keep me safe from what? From the freedom of deliverance. But the deliverance shall be of Christ. You are saved. You are redeemed. The deliverance of creature might be condemnation. I'm about to stiff arm you real quick. Boom. Let me get that Heisman. I think different. Psalms 51:12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. So regardless of how many times you fall, how many times you've stumbled, or what path you've chosen, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Let us be reminded that incarnation, the salvation, right through his blood, there's joy within it. We can rejoice. I am saved. I am saved indeed. Yes. Hallelujah. And uphold me with a willing spirit. I am capable. I'm willing to give. Think about the willing spirit concept. I like the topic marriage because I'm getting ready to wed at this point. Lord, forgive me and bless me at the same time. I don't think it's condemnation. I think it's a sense of taking life to a whole nother level. And I'm very, very, very appreciative of it. A willing spirit. So think about this. Do you have a willing spirit for your spouse, for your children, for your congregation, for God's children? How about the creation, right? For your fellow brothers and sisters, a willing spirit. If you possess a willing spirit within your heart, soul, mind, and every notion, every thought, discipline, degree, every encounter that you have no more than a willing spirit, and it directly reflects back to him. You shall be extremely successful in this world. There will be nothing that holds you back nor that prevents you from seeking eternity or building that treasure in heaven because you are willing and you're willing for him and you're willing for others. How many of us aren't willing for our significant other? No, I'm not willing to go through that for you. I And don't get me wrong, consent is valuable, right? I'm capable of saying yes, you're capable of saying no. Sounds like a marriage, doesn't it? I'm capable of saying yes, you're capable of saying no. Yes, of course. Whoa, forgive me. But uphold with me a willing spirit. The purest form of my testament, my light being lit on the inside, is my spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within me, and I am willing. Some would arguably say, that's what the suffering is. You are willing to endure the storm for your fellow brothers and sisters, but I shall not. If it takes you further away from Christ, then you're not going to get anywhere. How could you feed somebody every day, but at the end of the day, they're still hungry? Boy, that's a tough one, ain't it? How could you feed somebody every day, but at the end of the day, they're still hungry? And that doesn't mean that you ain't getting your fix. I need a daily fix of him. It means you just ain't getting anywhere. That willing spirit gets turned into a sense of condemnation to where I'm no longer willing, but I'm rather looking. I'm looking to deceive, to perceive, to decept, to condemn. And it can be destructiveness. Psalms 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's it. My heart pure, thought, word, and deed. Heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit. Right? And the right spirit within me. I don't think that there's a wrong spirit, but right spirit within me, because it lies within you. So now you have confidence that the advocate, that Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer, that regardless of the decisions that you've made, and you don't make decisions on your spouses, on your children, on your congregational members. I don't even think the church body stand. I don't know if it's relevant, but I don't think you make decisions on God's creation. You're not walking in this world abrasively bruised. I'm going to make decisions on my fellow brothers and sisters today. Hallelujah. Come get a little bit of that. For real? I don't think it's like that. You know what I mean? Sometimes you need to take a step back. You need to think about what you got going on. Abrasively, the spirit is within me, and I ain't got nothing bad to say for you. I mean, I'm outright willing. Is there something I can do for you? You need some help? I'm looking to help you. Lord, forgive me. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, plowed out my transgressions. Amazing. Psalms 51:11. I think this is a sense of confession, right? Transgressions. We know we're going to stumble. We know we're going to fail. Plot them out. Make sure. And this is a blot out. Oh, my goodness. I didn't even see that. So blot out my transgressions. But have mercy on me. Thank you on me. Oh God, remember, I'm saved. I'm redeemed. According to your steadfast love, multitudes of nations, unconditional, no limits and boundaries and restrictions, the type of love that you've given to us. It was an abundant, according to your abundant mercy. Mercy, abundant, thank you. Blot out my transgressions. So regardless of what venue you face, regardless of where you're going, where you ended up being, or what life has led you to, you're plateaued or you've fallen flat on your face, he still can deliver you and he can bring it out for you. So the power of prayer is something that you can confine in. And I'm not sure about you. I mean, I got a good mobile plan. I keep the newest phones and I got unlimited everything. And it's real cool. We got FaceTime hearts and double thumbs up. And you see the animation going up on the screen. It's like, cool. I like that. And that's the way it is. You are saved. You are redeemed. You get thumbs up from Christ. Right? You get a salute. You get a yes, you are saved, you are redeemed. Let me give you a hand up. You're not being held down. You're not being punished and put to the floor and being strapped right down. Mm-mm, it's just contrary. It's quite the opposite. I walk within the faith. I walk within the light. And his abundant, steadfast love that has no limits and boundaries is the reason that I encompass it. So the willing spirit is no more the confession of steadfast love that he embraces within you because of the Holy Spirit, and you deliver it to those that are in your life. And even the ones that aren't in your life, they could be outright strangers. I'm a stranger to him and I'm a stranger to others. You're still capable of having the same unconditional steadfast love for them because it's the only form of life that you are capable of possessing. He didn't give you the talent nor the ability, I don't know if it's acceptance or denial, to be capable of embracing a life to where there is an acceptance. I don't think so. I don't. Oh, I was like, no. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. So at very, very best, when I stumble and when I fall and I'm being threatened, I'm being stripped, I'm being robbed. Remember, they've broken up to the temple thieves at night. They've stolen everything that I have. Cast me not away from your presence. Thought, word, and deed, heart, soul, mind, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, the substance, we make it practical. We live within those lines and take not your Holy Spirit from me. So now you know that regardless of what happens, they can't take God and Christ from you. They can't take the Holy Spirit from you. You are consecutively saved. You are redeemed. You don't have nothing to worry about. Somebody said, I know what you did last night. Amen. You know, I still got God and I still got Christ. That's the point. Regardless of how bad we think life should get, whether we're willing or we're unwilling, they can't take God from you. They can't take the Holy Spirit from you. And fundamentally, each and every day, you can pray on it. You can pray on it. You ain't got to beg for God either. You can joyfully regrace. You can proclaim His faith, what He's doing for you and what you're capable of doing for Him. I was doing some work with a hospital. They just recently opened up a new location, and I thought about it collectively. I'm very well. It's kind of hard to explain, and I'm not pushing the envelope of idolatry here, and I don't think that's the mindset and mentality. But as they were opening up, I talked about doing a case study at a particular location. Let's advertise it on the news, on the radio. Options for everybody at your local hospital. What you need. What you want, what you need, what you want. Even the items that you want, because everybody likes substance, they like taste, they like flavor, and you have abundance of everything because of God and because of Christ. At the same time, I also set up great communication within that sector, and I had a foreign doctor on standby at a different country in a different nation. And I said, so anytime that anybody gets denied, refer them to this doctor, to this physician, at a foreign country, at a foreign location, and see if we can provide for them what their wants and needs are. And I think that wants are very relevant. We worked on needs for years upon years as if it was some sort of a submissive form of Christ. And I'm reminded as I read the book and I'm referencing within it that our wants are very relevant to me and to Him because of the Holy Spirit living within me. If my body, heart, soul, and mind want something, it's because God and Christ want it for me, and I seek eternity. I seek fulfillment, not to be living in bondage. So the mindset and mentality of the hospital opened up. By the way, it worked. It wasn't a confession, nor was it a condemnation. It wasn't redeemed nor condemned. Neither way. But either way, regardless of the choice, the road, the taste, the preference, the color, the tone, the shade, the walk of life, right? And I'm talking what? The denominational factors here that you've chosen, you are capable of finding fulfillment. That is the same type of love that Christ has for you. If you read the mission of the hospital, I think it says something to be Christ-like, and Christ's love is unconditional. It doesn't know limits or boundaries, and it doesn't have limitations, so it takes it to that entity. So my body shall not be deprived, whether it is of substance, intellectual, physical, spiritual, emotional, economical, intimate needs. These are all aspects of fulfillment that I can find through Christ and that He can provide for me because I walk within the light of Christ. Now, talking about it might not be getting us anywhere, but actually having the acts, the laboring of deeds, you've seen me. I'm out there. Lord, forgive me. I walk within the forgiveness. It's more than pictatious. I don't need to discuss it, and life itself is not up for discussion. So let us be thankful when we rejoice what He has done for us in the salvation and the impact that it has on us. And by the way, I got a yes from the hospital, and I got a couple other entities for health, and it was just astonishing. I'm trying to free heart, souls, and minds. Welcome to Life or Death Ministries. How can I help you? It's that type of mindset. I haven't quite got a phone service going yet, but I think that we'll get there. Think about how this message delivered you, and think about some of the topics and the thoughts that you had in this thought-provoking doctrine, if you would, the sense of lecturing, the discussion. Write down your priorities when you choose life. Now immediately write down God and write down Christ and write down the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the substance, the three, the very, very powerful three, and find out how they are relevant within every want and every need. Because if you shall seek them and there are no limitations, there are no boundaries in any way, shape, or form, then you can start leading a life of fulfillment. Anytime you want to be restricted, condemned, put in shackles and chains, getting told no, that ain't of Christ and it ain't of God, that's of creature. You choose creature, you'll be dealing with a whole bunch of creature. You choose God, you might be all the way up at the top, seated at the right hand, singing hallelujah with praise and grace each and every day. And let's not forget, mercy goes a really, really long ways because we ourselves are forgiven and we are redeemed. So think about it, write it down within I'm going to post this online to, don't forget about the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram, the social media following, but you'll see it on Facebook and it'll say Buzzsprout. You can click on it and you can listen to it. Within the comments, comment on how it touched you, how it isn't touching you, or if you have any questions on directive on finding faith-based services, and we'll see if we can get some answers for you. Let me close in prayer. Lord, forgive me. Our gracious Heavenly Father and Christ, our Savior, Redeemer, with the love, the grace, the acceptance, the power of forgiveness through your blood and salvation that we have been delivered, let us continue to walk within the light, the path that you have created. Let us remind to repent against other individuals, telling them no, that we don't have to deal with their form of condemnation, the suffering, the bondage that they find to be relevant. Submissiveness is no more than the confinement of being subject to unconditional love. And let's just be honest. Some of us are really hard to love, or we have a hard time loving others. So hate to love or love to hate, either way, you're still going to find him at the end of the tunnel. Continue to give us grace, life, love, acceptance, and an abundance of it. All right, a fulfillment of everything, which is what you perceived for us and wanted us to have. Allow us to find you within every enactment with love, grace, compassion, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. On a personal note, pray for me. I'm taking my own personal life to another level and with commitment, and I'm seeking pro-life. Lord, forgive me. Have a very, very good day. Thank you for tuning in to Life or Death Ministries. Don't be afraid to like, to comment, and to follow. If you have any questions, don't be afraid to hit me up. God bless you. Have a very, very good day.